Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another show of No Reserve, another episode of No Reserves Radio. I am apparently now your host for this show, Alex, and with me, as always, it's Angelo. How's it going on, buddy?
What's up, buddy? You know, and I figured since, you know, I host an episode, Ren hosts an episode, I think that you, since this was all your idea, you should be the host.
Yeah, so all
of it was your idea.
This will be, it wasn't all my idea. You threw the small idea back a few months, like last month or so, that we should probably make a wrestling show. We both watched wrestling for quite a while. You probably a bit more than I did. I think my first experience with wrestling was back in 2006, if I'm not mistaken.
2006.
My first distinct memory of wrestling is seeing Mark Henry just completely destroying Rey Mysterio. So for 2006, that seven-year-old me was very surprised. But no, not seven-year-old me. Nine-year-old me was very surprised. No, I do not. I was very surprised by that. And yeah, so we decided to give wrestling a go, see how you guys enjoy it, because we have WrestleMania coming up this weekend.
We have a lot of hot takes.
And we have
more
hot takes
than I normally have. More hot takes than I normally have. And that's a lot of hot takes.
Me and Angelo
I just said Josh Allen was a bum, basically.
Yeah, he did. And he said that Stephon Diggs is still great. So here we go now.
Yeah.
Now we're back. We're recording this prior to SmackDown. So,
yeah, so
when
we don't
you're listening
know what happens.
This, yes. But we're going based off what we heard so far, and me and Angelo usually disagree on a lot of things in regards to wrestling and booking.
Here's the weird thing. Raw ended with Roman and Rock standing tall. So by that logic, does that mean Cody and Seth stand tall at the end of SmackDown? And then it's kind of like this. Yes, because that's what happens. The person who loses stands tall at the end of the go-home show. Yeah, no, that's what's going to happen. The end of SmackDown, my prediction, Seth and Cody get their comeuppance on Roman and Rock, and they stand tall at the end and then lose at me. Anyway, go on.
But now, do they lose the tag match, or do they lose every match they're on?
I guess you're going to have to listen to find out.
Yeah. Okay. So, we have the match order. At least I have. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet. But Meltzer posted it. At least...
Oh, man.
Yeah, Meltzer. I'm not the biggest fan either.
You're bringing Dave Meltzer in on the first episode. All right, go on.
First episode. But according to him, back on March 31st... So late last week or even on Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday. He said that the card as of last week, so the week prior to this one that we're on currently, the idea was to have 7 matches on Saturday and 6 on Sunday. And the lineup that they have is Becky and Rhea Ripley opening up the show on Saturday with Rock and Reigns in the tag match, closing it up. And then on night 2, on Sunday, They have, I think I just said Sunday before, that's Saturday. Week two, day two on Sunday, they have Rollins and Drew, and finish up with Cody and Reigns.
Interesting.
That's what they're going
so
with
Seth
right now.
Seth is
going
to finish night one and then start night two.
Yes.
Rough.
That's going to be the idea.
Rough.
It's really rough. Cody has a bit more time to prepare than
For
Seth.
Sure.
But it is what it is. I mean, the weather is probably not helping as well. Like, I'm not so sure if there's going to be a great day on the weekend at Lincoln Financial Field. There's also no roof in that stadium. So today was just soaking wet there. I saw some pictures of the stadium. But apparently it's going to be cold but not raining on the weekend. So we will see how that goes. But I guess we start with a start. Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley.
If you watch our football episode, that field is the field that Jalen Hurts made Alex wrong. Anyway. Dylan, you want to
okay.
start? Yeah.
Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. Who do you got? And why do you got that?
Let's talk about the build just a little bit because the thing... Did you see Becky's quote about Rhea Ripley?
Which one?
I can't even source this. Baby Huey on the Click podcast. This is what Becky had to say about Rhea Ripley, which is if she's a heel, she's the worst book heel in wrestling history. If she's a babyface, she's the best booked babyface in history, but I think she's a babyface. How do you feel about that, first off? And how do you feel about some of the buildup? Because Rhea and Becky are both very intense people.
I think she's clearly a heel, but it's sort of a new age heel in which it's not necessarily they are looking for a reaction of everyone booing. They are looking for a reaction, period. It's very similar to what you have with Rock right now, which is clearly a heel. But, I mean, in the middle of his segments, when he's cutting promos, you have everyone cheering for him and, like, chanting his name, which is, like, people just get drawn out to the personality and doesn't
I think
matter.
Rhea is weird in the sense that I don't think Rhea would have worked, like, just about any era or year before now with the gimmick she has, but the gimmick is genuinely her and she has an attractive personality. Like you can tell this is genuinely her and it draws you to Rhea.
Yeah. And I mean, she's carrying a staple. That's very impressive for a
that's,
woman.
Yeah, that's very fair.
I don't really see like, when was the last time that happened? Never. China was never this over.
She wasn't. I was thinking that, you know, China might be the closest resemblance I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, but it's like,
yeah, wow. No, you're right. So, she is very, yeah, that's fair. That's a very,
she is
very
the stable. If she would walk out the door tomorrow, Judgment Day is kind of done. Like, she's the reason why Dominic is so over.
She definitely helped, but their interactions, like, I think it's as much Dominic as it is Rhea, too. They bounce off each other very nicely.
Yeah, but, like, without Rhea, Dom probably never happens.
See, I don't know about that because before Rhea, Dom had that whole feud with Rey, and
that was because of Rhea, though.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, like the feud with Rey started with Rhea when she was like choking. When Rey and Dom were having the feud with Judgment Day, it was like Rhea choking him up with the legs and all of that, and trying to control him, saying that he's her mommy and all of that. So, like, in a sense,
never mind,
Rhea
then, yes,
made all
you are
of this.
Right. You are so. Right, yeah, never mind. Sure.
So I think the build has been pretty good. Like, it's just, I mean, she's healed by every single action that she takes, like mentioning Becky's kid, for example, saying that the kid will see on WrestleMania who's her real mommy, and like Becky bringing up her
That's
father, that like
a great play at words, by the
that
way.
it was, yeah, that it was, and Becky bringing out the emotional aspect of her father, who didn't really get to see the kid, her kid. And like he was very proud of her. I didn't really understand where that came from. But I guess it's just like the connection of Rhea saying that the kid's mom and not Becky, and Becky saying like, yeah, my dad didn't get to meet my daughter. But he would be very proud of the mom that I am. And like the line just didn't really catch on to me. But yeah, bringing out the emotional aspect of the father. Now they are just brawling every single episode of Raw. Last Monday Night Raw ended up with a brawl as well between the two. So at the end of the day, I think like Rhea's been a pretty good worker, and but like the title reign has been lackluster, I would say. If you look at who she beat, there's not a whole lot of big names in there. So I think this is the name that solidifies her reign. And I think she beats Becky here because that's the name that headlines the list of people who she beat while having this big reign of her. Because like, who jumps out of top of your mind that she beat during this reign?
Charlotte.
Yeah, it's like it's Charlotte. Bear with me. Her reign is like a year long.
Yes.
So she beat Charlotte, and that seems to be it. Did she beat
To be
Bianca yet?
No, because this is why your reign's been weird. I think Rhea, the money matches were like Becky and Rhea, and of course Bianca and Rhea, and they didn't give that away. They separated Becky and Rhea for basically they sent Becky to NXT to make sure they were separated.
Yeah.
So I think that's a bit unfair because they did this by design because they understand those are the marquee matchups they have, and they're not trying to give it away. So.
But I mean, in the end of it ended up with Rhea during a full year having beat the likes of after beating Flair for the title. She then went on to beat Zelina Vega, Natalya. On Natalya was a squash. Like on SmackDown or something, 70 seconds. Then she faced Raquel Rodriguez, I believe. Then it was, yeah. Then she got in a fatal five way, and she beat Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, Raquel Rodriguez, and Nia Jax. And then she beat once again, Nia Jax on Elimination Chamber. I mean, when you're looking at names there. There's not a whole lot of big names, and I understand wanting to save them, but it leads to this situation in which you're in which like it's a year on, and the names on it are very lackluster. So I think now she beats Becky, and this is the name that headlines it, that headlines her big list of people that she beat, and it should ramp up from here, I hope. Who do you think wins it?
I think you're right. I think Freya wins it. So, not to give too much away, but I think there are going to be a lot of title changes at Mania.
I agree.
And I think you still have to have someone retaining at Mania. And I think this is probably the best case scenario where the champion goes in and retains. That and a future match that we're going to talk about.
I'm looking at the card right now, and I think two champions retain. That's it.
That's fair. I can see that happening. But let's move on. That
Yeah.
was a good discussion on the
Then we have a tag team match, a six-pack leather match for the for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. And in that match, you have New Day, Kingston, and Creed. Is it Creed? No, Xavier. I never know his name.
New Day is Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods.
Woods, okay. Wasn't he Creed in another promotion or something?
Austin Creed.
Austin yes. Creed. Okay, so I'm not crazy. Then there's Judgment Day. Who are the champions, of course. There's the team of Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. There's the team of... Yeah. Then there's R-Truth and The Miz.
Awesome Truth.
Then there's the... Do they even have a name? Austin Theory and the other guy. Like, I'm very bad at names if you haven't noticed yet.
They do, and I'm going to have to look it up because it's so, like, lackluster that...
There's something Aussie, right? Isn't it something Australian? Because this is Grayson Waller, isn't it?
A-Town Down Under.
Jesus Christ, dude. Some of these
names. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
It looks like Vince is back booking things with some of these names.
It's a bad name, dude. It's a bad name. Wait until you see the last team that you're about to say.
Yeah, it's Pete Dunne, and I don't even know who the other guy is. So that's how much I'm paying attention to that. So
you want to know the name of this tag team?
Go ahead.
Hold on, I need to look it up because it was so like meticulous and. It's Tyler Bate, right? That is his.
Yeah,
that is his
that's
partner.
It. That's it.
Are you ready to hear the name of this stupid tag team?
What?
The New Catch Republic.
Jesus Christ, dude. Okay, so that's the great line that we have here. So for this match, we were discussing this prior, but Michael Cole made a pretty suggestive comment on Raw, the final Raw prior to Mania, in which he said that the match only ends when both set of titles are taken out of the hook. So it appears the titles might be split here. Like a team takes one set of titles and the other takes the other set of titles. It seems as if that's what they're going with. The build-up to this, like, I haven't really been paying a whole lot of attention, to be honest. It's just way too much. Mm-hmm. A six-pack, there's 12 men in the ring. It feels a lot. But I think one of the teams that takes it, it's the Awesome Truth. And I think with the whole R-Truth wanting to be aligned with Judgment Day and all of that, I can see a scenario in which, for example, the Judgment Day and Awesome Truth each take a set of titles, and then R-Truth tries to give away the titles to Judgment Day, something like that. But I think the Awesome Truth definitely wins one set of titles. The other one, Jesus, dude, maybe A-Town Down Under, but like since Vince went away, they don't really seem very committed to Austin Theory, and Grayson Waller is kind of whatever. They are past the Australia pay-per-view, so who do you think has any sort of advantage here? Have you been paying attention to the build-up?
You're not gonna like my prediction.
What is it?
The prediction is Awesome Truth takes the first one.
Okay.
And Judgment Day takes the second one.
So would that be a retain? No, right?
That would be the argument. That is why you make them the second winner.
I wouldn't say because they are the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships and they will come out of this as something else, I wouldn't say they retain the titles.
I do think even though the build's been kind of meh, that this does have the potential to steal. This was night one's card to steal night one. This has a lot of potential to steal night one.
Sure. Because you have guys in here like Gargano, like Kofi, like even the A-Town Down Under, whatever those guys are. There are A-Town super athletic.
Yeah, you got it. Good job, man.
That are super like athletic and could be in those crazy ladder spots. There's been rumors of the RD Boys coming back, much like they did in WrestleMania. What was it? Like 37 or something?
Yes.
There are rumors of that since their AEW contract is set to end soon, if not already. But that hasn't been confirmed yet. I know they did an interview with Chris, and I'm gonna butcher his name. It's Chris what? What's the guy that always does wrestling content on Twitter?
Van Vliet.
Van Vliet. Yeah, that's it. I know they had an interview with him in which he asked them directly that, and he said, like, they would need a very specific set of circumstances to come back, but never say never in wrestling. So, not sure if they would make this a 7-pack or if they take out one team some way, somehow. So, I think the Awesome Truth definitely would get one, and I think I would agree with you. Purely because I'm looking at the teams here, and outside of DIY, I don't really see any team with the sort of potential to getting a run here. Like, the New Day have sort of gotten over the whole titles scene. They're more of a mid-card tag team at this point. A-Town Down Under, no. And then New Catch Republic, I mean, Jesus, dude, like, no. So it's between those three. I think those three teams end up with the two titles, and they're split. But yeah, probably Judgment Day and Awesome Truth make the most sense at this point, because of the R-Truth being so over and really wanting to join Judgment Day, something like that. I think it makes sense. And I don't think it would be a retain, at least not in my book, because they are not winning the same set of titles that they lost. They are winning part of it.
Yeah, I think that's generally how that goes.
Yeah. Okay, next up, we have the LWO, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Just the Mexicans.
This one
going at
this it. This one kind of just came out of left field. Like, they realized really that Dominic Mysterio is one of the most, like, over heels. Like, he gets booed all the time, and they kind of had to have something for him. So.
Well, this is what we get. And I think, like, the build on this was, like, super short. Like, Rey has been having, what do you want to call it, a program at this point with Santos ever since Santos betrayed him. Then out of thin air, Dirty joins in with Santos. He appeared like a few shows ago, cost Rey a match or two. Now he aligns with Santos, and then Rey Mysterio basically says, "You two versus me and a partner," and then you cut to Carlito being super pumped up that it's him. And then he says, "The new member of LWO, Dragon Lee," and you see Carlito just being like, "Huh?" So I think Carlito betrays Rey probably at this point. I think they're building towards that of some sort. I think you will see a betray there. Like, LWO don't really seem to be super over. Dirty Dom, at least, like, I don't think Santos is getting super over either. So I think they probably give this to Mysterio, Dominic. And they have Carlito cost the match some way, somehow to Rey.
So wait, you think Rey wins this?
No, I think Dominic Mysterio wins this.
I think
with LWO losing by part of the reason being interference from Carlito.
I actually really like that angle, I'm not going to lie. Especially considering the last time they faced, didn't Rey win?
Versus Dom, yeah.
I think Dom's going to get his win back. I think you're right. I think with him this over, yeah, he has to. I think Ray's going to do, you know, in his own way, Ray's going to do the work for his son. Yeah, no, I think Dom is going to Dom's team is going to win this one.
I think it makes sense. And you add on the inclusion of Carlito, so it's not a, not a clean win for Dom.
Exactly. So Carlito feels, you know, shafted because he didn't get picked the tag partner. And it's too good.
See, I'm booking well.
Yep, you are. You are, buddy.
Okay, so not much to talk about there. I think we'll move on to the next one, which is a bit more important. So it's brother versus brother next. And it's Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. And the build to this, has the build to this been sort of lackluster as well? Like, Gino comes out sometimes, matches.
It's kind of a slow build, so I think I saw a post on Reddit that said something along the lines of Jimmy Uso has cost Jey Uso a what's it when you have all the titles? A triple crown.
Yeah.
Has cost Jey Uso a triple crown worth of championships. So I can't say the build's been lackluster because the build's been so long.
Okay.
So
the recent build though has sort of been pushed to the side.
Yes. Because Jimmy's done, he's done all he's going to do to Jey, and Jey's had all he can have, and he can't have no more. So I think that basically wrote itself. I think Jey's winning this. There's my prediction.
I think that would be the very vanilla, like, booking for Jey to win. But I don't know, man. I sort of want to go with Jimmy. Like, it would make sense for Jey to win. Based on, like, the whole bloodline crumbling. But it appears as if maybe night one is going to be very bloodline heavy. And having bloodline just winning the tag match and winning this, it feels like this is what we're heading towards. So, I don't know, maybe a Solo Sikoa intervention here, hitting the Samoa Spike to Jey Uso. And that's way Jimmy gets the win.
I think they're going to save the Samoa interference for the tag match.
Hmm. That could also be. I mean, they could be in both. Like, I don't know. I have a sneaky feeling that it's going to be Jimmy, though. I think Jimmy wins this. I think Jimmy has been taking too many, has been taking too much of a back seat for basically everyone. Backseat to Roman, backseat to Rock, backseat to Solo, backseat to Jey. I think this is the one in which he gets it. I mean, it reminds me of back when the Hardys feuded a bunch of manias ago, in which they had one of those matches, which I don't think it was the I Quit match. It was the match prior to that, which was at WrestleMania. And Matt Hardy was the heel back then, and Matt Hardy came out ahead. I think this is likely what you see here. I think this is a program that lasts a few more pay-per-views or whatever you want to call it now. And I think Jimmy gets the upper hand here, much like they did prior in prior feuds of brothers.
Sure.
There's
so we're on the opposite on this one.
Yeah, we're on the opposite here.
That's finally.
It's going to be Jimmy.
At that time, yeah.
Yeah, but the feud on this, like, the build on this, at least the recent one, has been sort of, taking a backside. But basically everything has been taking a backside to Rock. Like, Rock
gets
an hour segment every single show.
I do think the Rock and the stuff that's going on with the Bloodline has taken center stage, but I do think there's one build-up that I might even say I'm more excited for than the whole Bloodline thing.
There's one more that is really building up, and we're probably talking about the same one. That one has also been built pretty well. But like everything else, sort of meh, this show. But it looks like a great mania on paper in terms of talent. Okay, next up, we have the six-woman tag match, in which you will have Bianca Belair, Naomi, and the, I don't know how you put it, the non-Royal Rumble debut of Jade Cargill. Looks like $1 million, to be honest. We'll see how it lasts, how long it lasts here. In a match in which it will be more of of her and not
did you
like,
see Jade's debut, like her coming out?
Yeah, on Royal Rumble.
No. On this, I think it was the SmackDown or the Raw that she debuted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw it.
The one where she cleared the ring.
Yeah, she looks great. I mean, the thing is, apparently the issue with her was the in-ring work. That's why she spent so much time in development after signing. And you debuted on Royal Rumble, and you are in a situation in which you have a lot of workers that you can build around, and they really play to our strengths in the Rumble, like the big, strong spots versus Nia, for example, all of that, really playing up to her strengths. I'm not so, and it was a short moment for her. It, like, the match wasn't that long for the amount that she was in. And now she gets a match, which I think, like, this is probably a 10 to 15 minute slot for them. And she will have to work one-on-one versus, I don't know, maybe if it's Dakota. I think we'll see a lot of Jade versus Dakota, because Dakota is a really great seller. And I think Jade could look like $1,000 versus Dakota. So I think this is what we will see every time Jade is on, or at least most of it. But though they are facing Damage Control, I forgot to say. I remember now. They are facing Damage Control with, I guess it's with Dakota Kai. I'm not sure if she's officially in or not. And yeah, yes. I think the babyfaces probably win this. Like, I don't really see them giving a loss to Jade Cargill in her first actual match.
Okay, so do you remember the WrestleMania that Damage Control went up against Becky, Trish, and
Lita? Yes.
So I think Damage Control should have won that match. They did not. I think we're going to see a course correction in a way and try to, because Bayley versus Damage Control isn't just going to be a WrestleMania thing. I think they plan on continuing it after WrestleMania as a longer story. I think Damage Control takes the win here. But I don't think Jade takes the pin, obviously.
I think just a loss in general in a WrestleMania debut would hurt her more than Damage Control taking a loss here, to be honest. I think they are established names. Asuka is very established.
Yep.
I think Jade getting the pin here. And you can make her take a pin on Dakota. With not a champion or anything like that. And I think that's what we're heading towards. Like, Jade getting the pin on our big debut. And it's not a singles match, but it's a tag match. And you can see that they're playing it very safe with Jade. Like, her debut is Royal Rumble. They take her out of the Elimination Chamber when she was supposed to be in. And now her second match in the company is in a tag match, a six-woman tag match, actually. So you can see they're playing this very, very safe, not giving her a singles match yet, just having people to play around with and play on, being able to take the tag. Like, she maybe gets 3-4 minutes. Of the 10 to 15 slot that they have. So they are playing this safe, and I think Jade establishes herself here by getting the pin on Dakota. Clean pin. 1, 2, 3.
So we are opposite on that too.
Yeah. Okay. Then the co-main event of night one, Sami Zayn and Gunther. Again, built to this, it's been okay. Do you think it's been anything over that?
I think it's been really good.
And you
because,
think it is? Okay.
Yeah, because they've kind of told this story that it's supposed to be Chad Gable. It's supposed to be Chad Gable's moment. And Sammy just kind of took it. But yeah. Sammy also has this arc where he's trying to prove that he's worthy, in a sense. because it was in question if he was going to main event Mania night one when he did. And he's been trying to build himself back to that. I think it's a good story, me personally. What's your prediction, Alex?
The long time story, I would agree. But, like, again, the short stuff, it's been very meh. Like, sure, he gets the win over Gable. I understand needing to have Sammy in the card, but I think Gable should probably gotten it over Sammy, this shot at least. But it's hard, like, to find a place for Sammy anywhere else. I honestly think Sammy wins it.
I think Chad Gable is going to turn heel at WrestleMania and Gunther is going to retain.
Ooh. That could be interesting. Gunther with the attack on Chad this past Monday and now he turns on Sammy. That could be.
I think it's going to come to a boiling point and Chad is going to have enough and then it's going to be like Sammy hits the Huluva kick and then Chad just breaks down and he costs either DQ or maybe the ref's down and he hits Sammy with like a suplex or something and then Gunther hits him with the powerbomb 1, 2, 3. I think it could be something like that.
It like if anything in those two people at least, you know, like Gable seems to be very over with everyone. Yeah, while like Sammy was very over, I'm not so sure if he's that over right now with the audience. So if anyone should have turned in that sort of like dynamic, I think it should have been Sammy. Like, of course, that won't happen now.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but you're right. The opportunity was.
Yeah, like, if anything, it should be it because there was a lot of reports in which Sammy was sort of shocked that the crowd was against him versus Gable. And again, that goes with my point that Gable seemed to be the most over guy between the two. So I think he should have probably gotten the chance, but I don't really see any of them turning heel now. So I think this will be a clean win for Sammy. If anything, Chad jumps in and helps him somehow, some way. But I think this will be a mostly clean win for Sammy. I think the Gunther's reign is probably done now. And with Cody getting... spoiler, I think Cody gets the title this year. I think Gunther finally jumps to the big leagues and challenges for that title. And this is the setup for it.
I think they're going to hold. Once again, it seems like WWE now is more about holding their big marquee matches for big events. I think they're going to hold Gunther, Cody. I think you can afford to give Gunther a little bit longer leash.
Okay, so another we disagree with. 3 on a row.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, main event of night one. It's Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns and the final boss, The Rock. Let me start by saying, every Rock's entrance has been better and better and better. Like, I was pretty against Rock when it should have been Rock Roman. Now that it has flipped to Cody getting his chance still, I'm loving Rock, to be honest. Like, every segment of his has been pretty great.
I agree. So here's the question. This you might be able to ask this at this main event or the second one. Do you think The Rock hands Cody's mom that belt?
Now, it depends on the outcome of the matchup. So right now I'm pretty certain that the Bloodline wins. So I think he does, yeah.
I think he does too.
And it's going to be great. But I really think he does. I think this, and we were talking about this before, I think this either ends with a Seth pin or a Rock pin. And it goes two ways here. Either they swerve us because it's looking very much like the Bloodline is winning night one. So we have Cody against all of the stacks, with the stacks fully against him. Or if that happens, if they're going to do that, then it's Rollins taking the pin, getting a beating, and then probably losing after that. And that probably sets up Seth versus Cody being like, you screwed me out of my title by taking that pin and that loss. And that much pain. So now I'm going after you. Like, I had your back, you didn't have mine. That sort of angle. Or it's ending with a complete swerve and Rock takes the pin. Then Roman gets mad at Rock for losing that and basically barring all of the Bloodline and main event too.
They've set up... So that's something I think we could talk about in a greater point is like... Especially before the Royal Rumble happened, it seemed like WWE was like experimenting with these matchups that weren't going to happen, but they were building them up for happening at a later date. Like, God, I'm trying to like, who was CM Punk in the ring with that you didn't know you needed until you saw them in the ring? Maybe it was Drew.
No, he was with Cody when they had that feud prior.
Oh,
to
Yeah. And then Gunther good. and then Gunther and Seth, and then it, like,
yes,
they've done really good at setting themselves up for no matter what outcome. Did you see at the end of the Rock beating down Seth that in the background was a bus that had John Cena and so
yes, and Stone Cold, and that's when he beat Cody.
Everything that they've set up implies that Seth and Cody are going down night one. But they don't have to do that. They have themselves set up that no matter what they go with, it's going to be good, which is the situation you want to be in.
And I don't really see Roman or Cody taking the pin on night one.
No,
that
probably.
That seems to be out of the question.
One of them's losing night two, so no.
Yeah.
You're right.
So it's like it's Seth or Rock, and Rock plays the storyline of building.
Rock is not taking no pin. I hate to break it to you, buddy.
I mean, it's one of the ways in which I can see Roman building up to Rock, either at SummerSlam or Mania of next year. The other one is just like having him lose clean, even though he has the Bloodline rules on night two, and then he gets pissed at Rock for whatever reason, blames him for something. But yeah,
I think Solo Sikoa comes out, spikes Seth, and then you get a people's elbow to end. And I think Roman and Rock win night one. They're in a weird situation where you can't have anyone lose pretty much because three of the four combatants are in world heavyweight title match or world title matches later, and the fourth one is The Rock.
Yeah.
So.
I'm gonna agree with you here, and I think it's gonna be a Bloodline win. Main event of night one. So pretty straightforward. I agree with your rationale. I think in the back of my mind there's that option of Rock taking the surprise pin just to build up Rock Roman. But yeah.
Rock doesn't even lose a fight in Fast and Furious movies. You think he's taking a pin at WrestleMania?
I do. I mean, it's a possibility, but yeah, I don't think it goes through. Okay, next one we have Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre.
This is the build that
this
might
is
be
the
better
build.
Than...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Drew being that sort of anti-hero, he's not really a heel. He's also not a babyface. He seems like that anti-hero type of persona right now. And Seth just broken back, broken knee, carrying this company, just goes from main event of night one to opening up night two, probably pretty banged up. Would you be surprised if this is a squash?
If Seth gets squashed by Drew?
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if Seth gets squashed by Drew.
Okay. Because I could see that in terms of like that surprise squash, like we had, for example, with Bianca in either a SummerSlam or a Rumble or something like that, when she was supposed to face someone. I think it was Sasha. And then she left. And then Becky comes back and just surprise squashes her. I could see something like that. Like, he's so debilitated by everything that he just gets squashed.
Did you watch CM Punk's interview with Ariel Helwani?
Parts of it, yeah.
So part of that interview was Punk saying that he feels a lot better than he should as far as like his progress is going, to the point that he's going to be part of both night one and night two to a degree, like as a commentator or
he's going to be commentating something. On this match, at least.
If I'm not mistaken, he's the host of WrestleMania.
No, I think they proposed that. They had a segment on Raw, this past Raw, in which he mentioned that. But it seemed to be implied that he's just going to be commentating on this match in particular. Like, they also flew around the possibility of guest refereeing. But in the end, it seemed like it will just be commentary for him.
So, I think Punk is going to, in some way, decide the winner of this. And believe it or not. And do you know who Punk's original opponent for WrestleMania was?
I think it was probably Seth, no?
Seth Franklin Rollins. I think Punk is going to, in some way, is going to cost Seth the championship. Drew's going to win. And then when Punk is better, he goes through Seth, and then he gets to Drew. How long that takes?
But who do you think wins it?
Drew. I think Drew's winning that match. Okay.
I think we are aligned with the winner. I think it goes a bit different. If he gets involved in any way, like it's not necessarily to hurt the babyface alone. I think if he gets involved, it's probably a GTS to both of the men. Something like that, because then he would sort of ruin the babyface of CM Punk. And then I think Seth loses. The squash was just an idea that I threw away that I literally just remember. I think he loses, like he's too debilitated. He lost night one. He has been having the injuries with the back and the knee. He loses to Seth. Probably interference from Punk's GTS on both men. Drew wins. This builds up Drew versus CM Punk at SummerSlam. I'm not so sure if we'll see Seth until SummerSlam. Maybe he comes back at SummerSlam, because I would be surprised if he doesn't take time off for injuries and all of that. So I think we build towards Punk Drew at SummerSlam, which is going to be weird because it would be a very small reign for Drew if he does lose to CM Punk, and I don't really see CM Punk losing, so. But we agree. I think Drew wins it as well. And then we follow this up with a great matchup that seemed to be put up in like last minute. We have a slot open. We'll do this. It's The Pride, Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford versus The Final Testament. Karrion Kross, Akam, and Razor in a Philadelphia street fight.
I don't care about the build up was so bad for this.
Yeah, didn't
honestly, really I think Bobby's whole return to WWE has been lackluster as a whole.
Yeah. This was put together just to have Lashley at Mania, because they didn't have him last year for the Bray Wyatt reasons, or at least it was an improvised matchup. I'm not sure if he was taken out completely or not. And this just seems to have been done to give Bobby a WrestleMania slot. So I think they win. I don't really care about this, so we move, I guess. Next
yeah,
up,
I'm, I'm predicting Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby as well. Okay, so next up, it's LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me talk to you. So, build up to this has been pretty good, I guess. It came from Elimination Chamber. It came even a bit before that. With both guys shooting, then AJ Styles cost LA Knight the match or eliminates him early or something like that at Chamber. Then they feud a bit, and now they are here. I mean, everything with LA Knights always seems to have a lot of hype. As you know, I'm not the biggest... Like, I like LA Knight. I don't think LA Knight is particularly at a main event level, at least for world titles. Yeah, I...
What?
Like, I'm just saying that it probably should win a mid-card title prior to taking jump, which I don't think he has. So, yeah, I think he gets the WrestleMania moment. I don't really see what a win here would do for AJ Styles. Like, he seems to be at a very stagnated slot in the card, in the main event roster. He just seems to be, I'm not sure what his contract is right now, but he seems to be the next guy that jumps ship to AEW at some point, to be honest. But LA Knight gets the win here for me. What do you think?
Oh, no.
Don't tell me the biggest LA Knight defender is going to go against him.
So, I'm going to do the reverse logic because I said that earlier that Seth and Cody are going to stand tall at the end and lose at Mania. I think tonight, because LA got his comeuppance last Thursday or last Monday, one of the two, that AJ is going to stand tall at the end of this SmackDown. And because of that, I think LA is going to win. Yeah.
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 Okay. LA Knight for both of us. Easy enough.
I'm debating going against you, though.
Yeah. Next up, Logan Paul with a U.S. title versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And, like, the build-up to this has been... It has come from, like, Rumble or something. Those three men have been involved. Wasn't it? No. Rumble, it was for the Universal title. Okay, no, so they haven't been involved, I think. Owens has been involved with Logan Paul. Then Orton eliminates Paul from the Elimination Chamber, if I'm not mistaken. And he gets headed there to this mix while they were trying to see who will fight Logan Paul for the title at WrestleMania. Honestly, Logan Paul retains.
Think Logan Paul retains?
I think it makes sense. Like, I don't see what the title does for either KO or Orton at this stage. I think Paul retains and probably until SummerSlam. Then he has a match at SummerSlam as well. He sells tickets. I mean, he's a pretty good wrestler for all you can say about him as a person. He's a pretty good wrestler. And I think the title on him, while a bit of a part-timer, serves pretty well. Better than what it would with Orton or KO. So I think it's a Logan Paul win versus one of these guys. Who takes the pin? Probably KO. What says you?
So did you mention that Logan Paul is the poster for SummerSlam?
Oh, he is. I have no idea.
Yes. Okay, so SummerSlam is actually going to be in Cleveland this year.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that means.
So,
yeah.
So,
he's retaining.
The thing is, I'm about to say, the thing is, I don't think if Logan doesn't lose at Mania, he's entering SummerSlam with that title.
Yes.
The problem is, I don't think he leaves Cleveland with a loss.
That I could see, to be honest.
So your opportunity to get that title off of Logan isn't. I think Logan's losing to KO. I think Logan's taking that pin and it's going to be KO. Or even better, Randy takes the pin, gets hit with a stunner, and then you set up Logan versus KO SummerSlam for that belt or something like that.
Is Orton taking the pin so soon, though?
I don't know. That's a good question. Would Orton take that pin? I mean, I don't know. But I do think that Logan loses the belt at WrestleMania as opposed to SummerSlam.
Hmm. Yeah. Another we disagree. I think Logan retains, probably drops the title at SummerSlam.
I don't think Logan would want to take a pin in Cleveland.
We shall see. Okay, last two matchups.
Did I tell you I'm going to be at one of those Raws?
Oh, you're going to be at what Raw? Oh, the Raw prior to SummerSlam or the one after?
I think it's like 2 weeks before SummerSlam.
Okay.
I'll actually be in the front row.
Oh, look at you.
Look at me.
Looking so fancy, going to Raws at the front line. I like it.
Yep, I'll be right behind the commentator's shoe at Raw, so it's going to be Michael Cole and maybe Pat McAfee.
If Pat McAfee is still around by then, yeah.
Yeah, if Pat McAfee is still around.
Okay, last two matchups. Io Sky versus Bayley. This is a pretty clear, like, Bayley win, right? This is, like, her moment.
Yeah, it has to, yeah.
Okay, so... don't really seem to be like a whole lot of discussion.
They've told, but yes.
Yeah, it's like, it's her babyface moment, winning the title at Mania. It's the moment that evaded there for quite a while, so just seems like such an easy Bayley win. And finally, the main event, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Or the big one. Does Cody finish the story?
Yes, Cody finally finishes the damn story.
Let's go. That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah, I think it has to be right
now. It's now or it's never. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's now. It's time for him to finish the story. I think we will see. I mean, Austin and Cena, both on the truck for WrestleMania, doesn't seem to be out of nowhere. It has to be intentional. So I'm choosing to believe that they will appear.
Imagine if, like, so Cena and Roman have history, just like Stone Cold and The Rock have history. So imagine, like, Cena comes in, AA's Roman, Solo comes in because he's the last person Cena beats. Spikes freaking John Cena for the 100th time. Then The Rock and Solo start tagging up on Cena, and then the glass shatters. And yeah, no, that yeah.
It's the Avengers.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame. I think that's likely what happens, to be honest. Maybe we're just daydreaming, but I think that's what happens. I think it's bloodline rules, everything goes, and then Cody flips it. Cody gets Jay to come out, help him out. Cody gets Sammy to come out and help him out. Cody gets Cena and get Stone to come and help him out. Maybe we even see his brother some way, somehow, coming out to help him out. And it's just fight fire with fire, and Cody gets the pin. And night one ends with Rock giving Mama Rhodes the belt. Night two ends with Rhodes giving Mama Rhodes the big belt.
Yeah, that's what I think happens, yeah.
Yeah. Or then we get a reveal. The biggest plot twist would be Cody finishes the story, but just like his dad, when he gets into the big one, there's Seth. He's out there to help him out. He gives him a blow, like a low blow, and out comes Mr. Money in the Bank. And just like his father, the title gets taken away from him in like a few minutes. That would be the biggest, I don't know, it would be really weird, but it could work.
I think if Priest cashes in on either one, I think it's going to be the Seth Drew match than the Cody Roman match. I just don't think you can have like Roman's title reign and a cash in. I don't know.
I just don't see with the Drew matchup, because they are having an event. I'm not sure which one it is. I think it's Clash at the Castle again in Glasgow. So it's pretty clear that Drew is champion when he gets to that event. Okay, but that's WrestleMania, I think.
I think so too.
Anything else you want to add?
Nope, I'm good. Host.
All right, then. Well, if you guys enjoyed this, let us know. Maybe we can do another show. Maybe just reviewing what happened at WrestleMania. That could be in the books as well. Again, if you're listening to this, leave us a subscribe. If you're listening on this on the Apple Podcasts app or the Spotify app, 5-star review and turn on the auto downloads. If you're listening on YouTube, turn on notifications, subscribe, leave a like, leave a comment. And as always, guys, talk to you guys next week. Have a good one.
Peace.
Enjoy WrestleMania.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Birthday?
Birthday.